Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we are coming to you and stand before you. Help us to be aware of your presence in a very unique way. Our life should be a prayer, Lord, and many times we are not aware of your presence, so we beg you now, especially when we are going to reflect on your beautiful word, when we are going to reflect on the most important elements of our life, when you are inviting us into celebration of the great mysteries. Lord, help us to sort out in our mind the disturbing elements and thoughts that are distracting us from being attentive to you, to your presence here. We ask our guardian angels to protect us. Blessed Mother, intercede for us. And Lord, we surrender ourselves to you that you will touch us deeply today and we will be opened to receive what you want to give us. May we celebrate what you give us because whatever comes from you is good. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, just on the beginning, a little information that, again, what is new? We don't have handouts. What is old? Your penance to listen to me still remains a few more weeks. And on your tables, you have a sign-up sheets. You know, I'm speaking in several parishes, and many times people send me, well, can you send me a handout? I didn't get it, and I said, well, which parish you go to, I don't know, because we are at different stages, different topics, and in each parish just wanted to know that who is sending it to me. And, of course, we'd like to inform you about things that are ahead of us. If something will change, sometimes maybe weather. Yesterday we have, for example, canceled All Souls Parish, where we are doing mission as well because of weather. Sometimes we can inform you about our potential retreats, or I want to inform you now that next week, because of Holy Thursday, we are not meeting here. Okay, anything else regarding, again, those sign-up sheets, if you can just leave them on the table, I will collect them at the end. So I have a little change in the topics which I have chosen this week. But before I will go into it, I want to play with to you a little video. Hopefully it will work. Last week we got it pretty quiet, but this is pretty self-explanatory here. Hopefully it will play here.
Just 3 weeks, and without knowing why she's doing it, this woman is now conforming perfectly to the group. But what happens if we take the group away?
Elaine, please.
She's alone, the crowd is gone, and nobody is watching her except our hidden cameras. What do you think she'll do? She's now conforming to the rules of the group without them even being there. Now, watch what happens when we introduce another outsider who doesn't know the rules.
Have a seat, and I'll be out just in a couple minutes. Thanks so much.
She'll teach the new guy what to do. cameras rolling as more unexpected patients arrive. And slowly but surely, what began as a random rule for this woman has now become the social norm for everyone in this waiting room. Here to explain what's going on in their brains is Jonah Berger of the University of Pennsylvania.
This sort of internalized form of her behavior is part of what we call social learning. Starting at a very early age, when we see members of our group perform a task, our brains literally reward us with following in their footsteps.
When I saw everybody stand up, I felt like I needed to join them. Otherwise, I'm like excluded. Once I decided to go with it, then I felt much more comfortable.
Conformity is how we become socialized, but it can also cause us to develop bad habits or repeat past wrongs.
And it's why even this rebel, who wasn't standing for any of this nonsense, eventually joined the ranks. And the only thing more shocking than seeing how easily conformity affects the way you act is that similar forces are subconsciously shaping the way you think.
So what you think, we have this power again. Probably need to get down here. Okay, now I know what to do here. Okay, so what do you think? You know, why did I choose this? Because it reminds me of Catholic Church during the Mass. Absolutely. I call this topic today, God we worship, or do we? And I believe that question mark is there with a purpose. Do we? Because, as you could see, they were standing up, not even knowing why they are standing up. But the topic which I am going to choose today is God we worship, or do we? Because I want to talk a little bit how to be present on the Mass as we are talking about those elements, and I might have it actually here. How can we be present in this? On the map, there will be there physically, academically, intellectually, and spiritually, or mystically present to those realities as well. Because we need to realize that this makes us one, okay? We are human beings that are physical, intellectual, and spiritual. And in order for us to pray properly, we need to prepare for the Mass like we prepare for many, many other things. But before that, I will share with you my own story. You know, it happened almost a quarter century ago. I was part of the parish where baptisms took place during the Holy Mass. And they took place right after after homily. So, I'm sorry, another parishioner is probably calling me. I need to turn it off here. Because it took during the Mass, usually those people sit in the front who are going to have a baptism. And of course, you know, 25 years ago, almost 25 years ago, I was different in reality, in relationship with God. So how do you prepare for the baptism? You know, we need to do preparation, and many times we do preparation more the physical preparation on the first level here that we focus on that. So what you do, you need to make sure, because you have reception after, that you have enough food, enough drink, and all those things. And of course, at that time, 25 years ago, there was no cell phones, but we had to have the camera. We wanted to record it. We wanted to record a longer Mass, so you need to make sure you have a battery that 8mm tapes. Some of them are only 30 minutes, some 60 minutes. You need to make sure you have enough battery for that. You need to make sure you have somebody who understands what's going on during the baptism that will record it. So I needed to train the person, because I witnessed many baptisms on that Mass, and I want the different angles to be recorded during the Mass. We had a beautiful choir that was singing, and there was something quite unique. You know, when I go around the parishes, Denver diocese, when I start to imitate what had happened, everybody knew who that priest was, because the Mass And the baptism is quite unique. So imagine that. So we prepare ourselves as much as we can externally. I have to remember my children. At the time, I had already three children. So they had to be dressed properly. You know, I don't know how it was in you, but in my country, old country, even though it was communism, and a mass, you got the church clothes and you got the church shoes. That's how we were raised. You would never dare to come in tennis shoes in the school, or jeans, or shorts, or today people are jogging and go to the church. That was unthinkable, unthinkable. We lost the reverence completely. But, you know, even at the time, I didn't understand my mass. I didn't understand. But at least externally, I knew that it is impossible that I will come on this beautiful wedding feast of the Lord. The glorious moment that I will go in the jeans or something. So dress up, and especially children, you know, they have to be dressed properly. And of course, you want them to behave, and you want everything because you are right there in the front. And so how the baptism was performed was quite unique. Priests usually call the person, the parents and godparents and baby, in front of the altar where it was on the side, there was a baptism font. And how he said it was like this. And I'm pretty sure, I'm not sure if anybody was in diocese called Denver Diocese before, but the priest is known almost everywhere. I have so far didn't find anybody who didn't know him. This is how he said it. My son was Patrick, so he pours the water a long way and so, Patrick! Anybody know who I'm talking about? Ken Leone, yes. I baptize you! You know, and the water is splashing on the child. And when people see it, nobody sleeps in the church. You know, when you hear performance of this baptism, nobody is bored there. Because, you know, what is happening when it's a long splashing water, every child responds differently. In the name of the Father, you got a big jar, you know, when they're always pouring it. And sometimes child slept through. And people are like, wow, amazing, let me take a picture. So people standing up on the top of it because it was a great show. So priest allowed children to come and be around the fountain, you know. So, and the Holy Spirit. And it was just such amazing. Everybody was on the feet. And after child was baptized, priest take the wash the hands and raise the baby. And that moment, choir. And this special song, oh, hallelujah, and they go out of the water, you have risen, you know, and they sing the hallelujah, great songs, and everybody claps the hands, and priest elevates the baby. Have you seen the Lion King? You know, and they're like that, elevates the Lion King, and everybody stands up, and the whole congregation claps the hands. It's just a big, big time. Something else what this priest did, during our father, he always wanted to welcome the child to the community. So he took that baby, you know, a little tiny baby, whatever it was. And when it was our father, he took it and held it and came to the people and went around like this and said, look at this baby, you know. And when you look at those people, everybody was astonished because the child was sometimes screaming, oh, it's my mom, you know, whatever. Or sometimes, you know, when there are girls, they have a nice bow, they are dressed nicely, you know, and they sleep like a beautiful. And women go like, oh, I think you're beautiful. You know, everybody's somehow excited about those things. And, you know, goes around and everybody's excited about it. But when we had the baptism, there was something more on the top of it. He called us to the front of the altar, even parents, during our father, and we didn't expect it because he never did. No baptism. So, and he started to talk to congregation about us, like, we are at the time teaching a marriage prep, natural family planning in the parish. And as we are part of this group, he was saying that we just came a few years ago to United States and we are part of the community, very community-oriented parish. And of course, we had about 30 couples on marriage prep, and they all decided to make the surprise on that Mass, even though usually some of them went to Mass on a Saturday evening or Sunday early or Sunday evening. All of them decided to come and surprise us, come on the Mass when we were there, and they wanted to welcome us. And so Father invited all the members who came to surprise us And they came around the altar, and there was like 30 couples. Picture this. And we are sitting there, standing, and our father goes on. The father takes the child around. And that moment was quite a unique moment. And we had invited friends for our baptism, and they were just amazed how unique baptism it is. So after Mass, we went home, and of course, I wanted to immediately check if everything was videotaped while people were eating and drinking around. I plugged that tape into VCR, and I was playing it on the background while people talk about it, and everybody just said, it's such a beautiful baptism. It is just gorgeous performance. People said, I've never seen anything so beautiful. Beautiful. And as we are sitting there in the sofa, you know, you feel good when you have that compliments. And as we're listening to that, and everybody speaks so highly about it, suddenly while I watch it, I heard a voice within me. Where was I the whole time? And I said, Lord, is it you? Because, you know, everybody speaks highly, but something stirred within me, like God is telling me, did you pay attention to me the whole time? I tell you, it was quite striking because I didn't expect that. But when everybody else left, and later in the evening, when children went to bed, my wife, everybody, I took that video by myself and I started to watch it. And you know, picture that. If you see yourselves to be videotaped, only you know what you do and why you do, because you remember when you look up, what were you doing? For example, I was looking up and somebody will look, say, well, he probably has a vision of Holy Father in heaven, or he is praying. No, I was counting if I have enough cups for coffee, you know. I was focused on that and thinking like that. And then I smile and probably somebody thinks like, well, I'm a happy, joyful person. No, because there was a lady in choir. She has such bushy hair and she was shaking like that. She was so funny, you know. So and then I looked at this and there's a little smile, but there was no smile because I knew what was happening inside of me, because my oldest boy was teasing girl, and of course camera was on, and I didn't want to shut up. I let you know, and you know, or many times I look down at Felix like I'm deep in prayer and I'm saying, well, what did I step in? My shoes are dirty, you know, they are got to be come. And you know all those things, what you went through, what was behind this body in your head, what was happening. But there was a very little of the worship. Very little of worship. But it surprised me, and I don't know how it would be, I don't know where you are, if your last Mass would be videotaped and placed here, how would we act and how would we redeem? Because I want to remind you something, words of Jesus Christ. As we are talking about this map, how we are united mystically. Because Jesus Christ, when he met that woman at the well, she questioned him who he is. She thought he is a prophet. But then she said this. Let me see if I have it here. She said, well, where are you worshiping? You Jewish people are worshiping Jerusalem. We are worshiping here. And Jesus answered her this. Let me see if this will work on a long distance. He said, about the time is coming and already is here, and my computer is not working, that there will be time when people will, those who are worshiping God, will be worshiping in the spirit and truth. And it's the time is here, it's coming now, when all those, this is it, our is coming is now, when true worshipers will worship Father in the spirit and truth, and indeed the Father seeks such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. So as we're coming and talking about how we come to Mass, many times when we look at this map that we have, this physical, many times we are present only physically, sometimes academically, but spiritually very seldom. And yet we are supposed to meet God. And on the beginning of the Mass, priest tells us, in order to celebrate these mysteries, because what is happening is quite mysterious, we need to realize when we are at the Mass that That mass is relived what was happening in the Last Supper, what was happening in the crucifixion and resurrection. We are meeting Jesus Christ there in a specific time of his life. It is beautiful for us to understand that when we are there, we need to learn to participate all physically, academically, and spiritually. We need to learn to be present to the realities that are there. Many of them are invisible. And as God told us, Christ told us that we need to pray in the spirit and truth, worship in the spirit and truth. We are invited to understand that that mystically or sacramentally, there is only one celebration of the Mass. And God is not in the time. God is outside of the time. And for him, when he looks at the beginning of the world and end of the world, and he looks at the center of the point time in the fullness of the time when Christ bought us this salvation, we can in spirit and truth enter and actually be at the Last Supper. Externally, we are in St. Mark's Parish. But sacramentally, spiritually, we are at the Last Supper. In reality, we are at the Calvary. We are witnessing resurrection. Those are reality because it's only one sacrifice that is acceptable to God. There is no other sacrifice. Only what happened multiplies participation, but there is only one Mass. Only one Mass. And we need to be open to these realities, and that's why we need to come, because we need to come prepared, even spiritually, because that moment, what had happened there, is a turn of the humanity total opposite direction where we are going. We are going away from God, from creation. This is the promise which God has given us, that Mary will bring us the Savior. And this is accomplishment of his mission, that we all can be saved. This is the most important element of our life. Holy Mass is not social gathering. It's a participation in the mysteries of Christ. This moment is so important that God, in all his powers in eternity, he made us this intellectual and spiritual being that we will have ability to participate on it fully, completely. Yet God is giving us the gifts in order to do that. So we need to learn to prepare. So we need to talk about how to be attentive or present to that. We need to prepare for the Mass. You know, I used to do some jokingly before, but probably can do it even here. Anybody is fisherman? Who like? You like fishing? Yeah? Okay. Can you volunteer here for a moment and so picture this, because we are going to talk about mysteries, but when we go fishing, right, sometimes you can have surprises, yeah? But if you are not ready for surprises, you can miss the opportunity.
That's right.
Yeah, okay. Right. So picture that we are fishing, and you, right, and you are fishing, I'm just helping you, you know, and right, you're pulling, and suddenly something is there. And I said, oh, okay, you are pulling it. So and I'm going to help you because I have right, this net, and I pull out. And oh, look here, there's a golden fish. And the golden fish said,
I never caught one of those.
Well, but that was a surprise. It's a mysterious moment. And speaking, it says, if you will let me go, I will fulfill three of your wishes. But you have 10 seconds to say them.
Two, three. I'll let you go.
He didn't say one. He missed opportunity of his life. You know what? Hold on. You know, you would let her go without asking for anything? You would really let her go?
No, I said I will take a wish. I will make a wish.
But you didn't.
Yeah. I kept it myself.
Oh, you kept for yourself. Well, there's not count. Did you say three?
No, I just said one.
Okay, well, you missed two, no opportunity. Yeah. Now picture this.
One was a good one.
Good one, important, yeah. You know, I like that too, because, you know, when many people see that Cinderella, and what is that woman, that, and she got this wand, whatever, magic wand, right. I would not ask for a wish, only one wish. Give me the wand. That's it, you know. Yeah, simple. Yeah.
right.
Make it easy. But picture that. You are going there and you know that in that lake is that fish. Mm-hmm. And you know that you have a chance to catch it. Mm-hmm. And you know that you can have those three wishes. And you know that you can prepare and make the good choices. How much time you will ponder before you fish what they're going to choose? Probably a lot.
You can be well prepared.
Yeah, well prepared. Thank you again. Thank you again for volunteering. I have a prize for you. I truly have. For volunteering. I do have. But why am I saying it? Because when we come to the Mass has a flow. And when we are not prepared and we don't ponder, we don't pray about what we are saying or what we are supposed to learn to receive, Mass flows and we cannot even ponder what's going on. And many things, because we've been Catholics all our lives, some of our converts, but we are doing it so often, it goes way over our head. So I want to invite you into this celebration and looking into that, how we can meet with God, how we can pray in the Holy Mass in the spirit and truth. Because, as I told you, the mystical life is not the result of extraordinary graces, but is a normal development and the grace which we have received in baptism. We don't need extraordinary graces to participate in that. It is within us. Catechism of Catholic Church, when it's teaching us into this mysteries, invites us and tells us in 1075, listen to those words carefully. Liturgical catechesis aims to initiate people into mysteries of Christ. It is mystagogy. By proceeding from visible into invisible, from the sign to signify, from the sacraments to the mysteries. Such catechesis should be presented by local and religious regional catechism. This catechism, which aims to serve whole church in all the diversity and all the rites, all the cultures, will present what is fundamental and common to whole church in liturgy as a mystery. It's fundamental as a mystery, as a celebration of the sacrament. So we are invited there. If we are open to these mysteries, then we will understand what Paul said when he said, eye has not seen, ear had not heard what God has ready for those who love him. So as we spoke about those three elements, three questions about Mass, I want to tell you first how to prepare. There is so many ways, but one way we need to understand, the preparation begins that moment when I start to think about Mass. I need to know where I'm going and what is the purpose. I need to know that I am going to go meet Christ in the Last Supper and Calvary and the resurrection. That's the most important. There is so much going on in the Mass, but just give you hints. If you want to know deeply, there's a great book by Benedict, he was Cardinal Ratzinger, 2000, Spirit of Liturgy. Fantastic book when it invites us into these mysteries. Or Scott Hahn wrote Lamb's Supper. Very good, but he looked from biblical perspective. I'm going to look only at what we do, what we say. Because if we understand, if we are prepared for the Mass, and we are coming to the church, right there when we dip our fingers in the holy water, make a sign of the cross, do you know why we do that? Anybody knows? Excuse me?
It erases all venial sins.
Yeah, holy water does, but the purpose why we dip and why it makes sense? Reminding our baptism, exactly. You know, if you go on Easter Vigil, every year we have opportunity to renew our baptism promises. When we promise that we reject devil, reject all his idea, reject all sin, and that we believe in God, Father Almighty, we promise that. So when we are coming there, we are coming to God's house, and when we dip our fingers, we are reminding ourselves, Lord, I want to be pure. I want to celebrate these mysteries. So I renounce. I gave you promise. I'm not going to sin. Help me, Lord, to be purified. Help me to be a believer in you, in all mysteries which you are revealing to me. And then when I go to the church, of course, I genuflect with a purpose. It's not my house, it's the Lord's house. And we know that there is a tabernacle, and there is my God, there is my Lord, there is my Savior. If you went today to Mass, he reminded us, before Abraham was, I am. This is who he is. The same one whom Moses met, same one, God, because he's one Holy Trinity, is there. God Almighty is there waiting for us, and we need to show him reverence. That's why I genuflect. I realize that many people don't even know why they do it. We do it mechanically. I know the churches where the tabernacles are put on the side. And they walk in and they genuflect totally different direction. But somehow they are taught that they should genuflect. Hi, there's Joe. How are you doing? Well, I'm not worshiping to you. You know, we need to understand, not like those people in video, they're standing, not even know why, because everybody else is doing it. So we will go through that a little bit, because as we begin our Mass, priest tells us, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. We are entering into the name of God. Name represents identity. We need to learn to enter into him, through him in the mysteries. And right there on the beginning, anybody went through biblical school? Anybody here is through biblical school? This is what the Mass begins with, exact words which St. Paul finishes second letter of a letter to Corinthians. Last paragraph of second letter to Corinthians are these words. But I want you to ponder on this. Remember, when we're doing this analogy as a sailboat, that many of us, we physically live physical world, and even when we go to the church, many times we are coming not this way toward God, we are coming this way. You know, I'm coming and I'm physically present, but mentally I am tomorrow already, because I'm flying in the morning on my business trip, so I'm thinking about my business or about Broncos or about anything else, but I am in the Mass, I'm there sitting in the Mass, and amen. You know, and then I think, I continue my thinking, and with your spirit. And, you know, and then I just say those words. Many times I'm present only physically, but even mentally I'm not present. But we need to look into that, how to be more present, because as we look at that sailboat, you can go on your sailboat, you can go into deep water, and God can send you wind, and you can be fishing and miss the opportunity. God, if you are on sailboat and you don't even know how to receive, how to open a sailboat, you can be sitting there not moving at all in a good wind. And we want to move one direction, so we need to be attentive to what God wants to give us, because we spoke about that analogy. That's how I worship God, with whole being, that I go there physically, I apply my intellectual capacity, I prepare for the Mass, I prepare with the readings, I pray about it, I purify myself, and I enter into Mass, and I'm there present to what God wants to give me, that I can celebrate the mysteries. So I'm going to tell you here, ponder on that. And we need to learn to receive what God wants to give us. So priest begins with these words. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is what God wants to give us. This is one of those things which are more mysterious than the golden fish can give us. But we need to learn to receive it. Anybody knows what is grace? Definition of grace. Mm-hmm. Or another name for grace. Blessing, yeah, blessing, gift. It's a gift, absolute gift. It's gratia, great gratis, it gifts from God which I cannot earn, I cannot do anything to get it, I cannot strive for it, work hard for it. This is what Jesus Christ is willing to give me, the grace, the gift, the spiritual gift, which is absolutely necessary for me to enter into the mystery. But he's telling me, I'm giving it to you, but you have to receive my word in the soul. Are you receiving what I'm telling you? He's speaking, of course, through priest. And he said, you need to learn to receive it. Second, and the love of God, the Father. You know, when I ponder on the love of God the Father, what he wants to give us, many years I struggled with love of God the Father, honestly. Because, you know those words Jesus Christ says, as a father has loved me, so I have loved you. And when I look at the crucifix, I said, Lord, how did you love your son? I struggle with that. You let him die. And I should receive the same love? Honestly, when I ponder on that, I struggle with fatherhood. I didn't understand until I battled with God tremendously, because I don't know how you look at your children. If you love your children, I know there are parents who don't love your children. I don't know where they are, who they are. But if you love your child, and more you love, the hardest thing you can watch is your child dying. I don't think for the parent there can be more painful experience. So when I prayed to God and I said, I would not do that. I would not be able to watch my son die. If my child is dying, I would rather take place. I would rather take place because I love the child. And I said, so help me, Lord, to understand why you love him with less love than I would love the child. And God says again, repeat what you say. Why would you do that? And I said, yeah, I would rather take the place. I said, why? I said, because I love him. I said, no, go deeper. Why? And I say, of course, because if I love, I would not be able to watch. And he said, why would you not watch? Because it's difficult. I said, what is more difficult? To watch the child dying or you take his place? And I said, of course, what is more difficult to watch it? And he said, then that's what I have chosen. It is harder, more than love. See, and this is what God is saying. Do you understand that my son who is pure, no sin, and the love between me and him is the love which none of the human beings are able to share. And I gave up that son for you, for you, for you. Do you understand what love I want to give you? So, are you going to receive that love of God? Love of God that he gave his only son for you while you and I were sinners. And he's saying you need to learn to receive that love in order to give it. And the third, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. I want you to be one spiritually. I want you to be united. I want you to receive that Holy Spirit, the wind that will take you much deeper into this mystery. It's just like a sailboat, but you need to be aware. You need to learn to receive it. Honestly, if you're like me, just because we are going to Mass all the time, and priest says, grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of God, and communion of Holy Spirit be with you, it goes right over my head. I don't even think about it. Very often. I don't even think about it because I heard it so many times. It just said so often, so it goes over me and I don't even receive. But take those words, if you have a missal, if you have a book, if you go on the internet, find the Mass and go through the Mass, outside of the Mass, that as we'll go fishing, I will be very prepared to watch, to receive from that fish. I need to prepare what to receive from God because God wants to give me much more than the fish would give me in this story. And God is willing because this is the closest way, closest place we can be on earth to God, to heaven, to the heavenly worship, to that what is happening at the wedding feast in heaven. This is not just social gathering. This is mysterious reality. And if we are not ready, if we've forgotten it, priest tells us again, the one way, simple way, Lord be with you. Receive it. If you will go to Byzantine Mass, it's the eastern part of the church, which is union with the church, but their worship, instead of Lord be with you, they said very often during the liturgy, be attentive. Be attentive. And remind us, be attentive. Don't escape. Because as you are going, as you and I are coming to the Mass, many times in mind we escape somewhere else. And the church tells us, Lord be with you. Turn back to Lord. Do you hear? Do you hear what priest is telling you? I want you to receive what I want to give you, that you can celebrate these mysteries. And of course, right after that, priest tells us even in order to celebrate, let's purify. We need to be pure. We need to be purified. So we need to confess our sins. So we need to bring to mind our sins. And then we say these words. I confess to Almighty God, the Father, to my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned and thought what I have done, what I have failed to do. And of course, we strike ourselves in the breast. How many times? How, why?
Trinity.
Why? Trinity, yeah. You know what? A church doesn't describe how many times you need to do it. Never said that. This is from the rubrics, directly copy. But we do it because everybody does it. You know, we do it three times. But that's just like in the movie. And then we say, through my fault, I admit. And then we'll continue and say, therefore I ask, Blessed Mother, ever virgin. And, you know, we are dead on the mass, and I confess to Almighty God. Picture that you are on the mass, and we should prepare for the mass. And mass stops and said, okay. I say, I confess to Almighty God and Father, and said, mass stops and said, what are you confessing? How many sins did you go in your mind in preparation before mass? You will ask everybody, and everybody will look at you and stop and say, did you really prepare? Did you examine your conscience before mass? Did you examine? Because you are saying with words that you are confessing your sins. Which sins are you bringing here and really confessing? Or are those only words on the lips? Without even mind and heart to be present. Did we spend some time before Mass examining if whether we are worthy to celebrate these great mysteries? We are going on wedding feast of my God, my Lord. And then I said, I confess, and I ask, therefore I ask, Blessed Mother, Ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brother and sister, I am asking you, and you are saying the same thing. You are asking me to pray for you. Am I aware, am I really praying for you, or is it again just lip service here? Because you are asking me, and I'm asking you, how often you pray for your fellow parishioners, for those who are there. How often you pray that they will examine their prayer? Are we really present even to our own words? Are we aware what we are saying? Are our hearts there? Remember, if our heart is far from God, the words of prayer are in vain. We don't want to celebrate this Mass in vanity. It is a gift to us. Church, remind us and continue as we go through the Mass. We need to go and ponder on those words. We have those words. Take them at home. Prepare for the Mass. It is beautiful to celebrate this Mass with fullness, understanding. Here is a beautiful way as a priest is going later. I'm going only through a few elements. We don't have much time here. But you take it and go deeper in the Mass. Here, the priest, before the gospel, yeah, either deacon is coming to proclaim gospel. Listen to those words, because it is important to understand why only deacons and priests are saying gospel, because they are ordained. Those are the words of Christ when we read the gospel. And these are the blessing. May the Lord be on your lips, priest says over deacons. On your heart and on your lips. See, your heart and your lips have to be united that you may proclaim gospel worthily. This is honor to listen to the word of God. We have a great privilege. There are many people who had never had a chance to hear the salvation history, to see, to hear the words of our Savior. And we are there, and we need to go and worship that with our heart. When a deacon is not there, priest says this, cleanse my heart. And my lips, Almighty God, that I may worthily proclaim the gospel. It is beautiful to come. And again, if we escaped before gospel, Lord be with you and with your spirit. The gospel according to Matthew. And then we do this. Do you know why we do it?
Open up your mind, open up your heart.
Open my mind, heart, and your lips. Yeah. I should pray. I should be present to that. I said, Lord, I'm going to hear your words. Help me to remember. Help me to proclaim it with my lips. And help me to keep it. Do we say it? Do we do it? Or is it just mechanically? I don't know how you do it. I know how I'm tempted, how many times I escape. But again, let us remind the words of the Holy Mother Church. Our heart is far from God. Everything is vanity. We do mechanically. Again, it's a great reminder that we come to God and we do this on our forehead and lips. Here is another part of the Mass. Remember, when priests or deacons, They take that wine and they drop the water. I mentioned it several times. Here is the mystery. Because we are going to meet Christ. We are going to be united with Christ. By mysteries of this water and wine, may we come to share in the divinity of Christ, who humbled himself to share in our humanity. Here we are preparing to divinization, to come from the natural to supernatural. We are preparing to rise up from the natural. Only God can help us to get there. If we are open, if we are receiving, if we understand the beautiful mysteries into which we are going. Offertory. Offertory is a great time when we have to prepare. Because there are songs usually that are chosen. If you understand the lyrics, are preparing us to bring to the Mass, to the altar, our own gifts. Everybody. Because at that moment, I need to bring, let's just say 4 points, only 4 points, my prayers of whole week. Everything what I pray now, I'm bringing him to the altar. During the offertory, it's not only putting money in the basket. I am offering everything what I have. My prayers. My labors of whole week. Remember what priest says? When he received those gifts, he said, the fruits of the earth and work of our hands. Our work of whole week, or we go every day, has a meaning. Everything, my work, whatever you do as a work, if you are aware of God's presence, if you are in him, in ipso, he will take all your labors, all your struggle, all your battles in your work, all your efforts, everything, what you are doing, it not only that you will make money, but all the efforts can be united and be presented on the Mass. The work of our hands are presented there. So our prayers, our works, our joys, everything what God is giving us. Let us prepare. Prepare because we are bringing on the altar. And our suffering, our trials, our difficulties as well. Our offenses. How often we offended people that it will be buried there because it's for that the blood was shed for forgiveness of our sins. We need to bring our offenses, our sinfulness. If it is serious sin, I have to go to confession. I am not worthy to receive body of Christ without confession of the serious sin. Even venial sin, we have many times opportunity to ask for forgiveness. But we want to enter with a pure heart that we will see the Lord. Remember, Beatitudes tells us, blessed are you who are poor. Pure of heart, because you will see the God. We want to see God. So we are coming there, we are bringing offenses. We bring those our enemies and we ask for forgiveness, for reconciliation. I ask that God will take away those things which I offended others as well. I bring everything to God because this is the time to prepare the offertory. Everything, my life, my desires, my gift, my talents, my ability, everything for purification, I give to God. Because if I don't give it to Him, if I don't sacrifice it for Him, if I don't unite it with Christ, what do I offer it to or for? What else? How else it can be put for the glory, and all the things which are created, all things are good, and everything what I have should lead me. As we spoke about, Ignatius Loyola says, all is good, let us use it for that purpose for which we are created, for eternal life. And here is the opportunity. And as we are coming, you know, many times on the Mass, we sit down, we stand, we kneel, we stand, and we don't even know why. We just go up and down like a monkey, like those people in the movie, you know, on the video. Many times without thinking. I remember when I was Catholic, and when I came here to America, after I got conversion in West Germany, I was on the fire. And I went everybody who said is Catholic, I wanted to know everything about Catholic Church because I never learned that in communism. So, and I talked, and Catholics couldn't give me answers. They went through all Catholic education. They went to the Catholic universities and couldn't give me answers. Until one day some Protestants asked me to join them, and I did. And I was quite surprised how many people knew the Bible. And I struggled with it, and nobody, I couldn't find a Catholic who could help me. I was mad and I left the church. And you know what? I was glad that I'm the other, because we talk about God whole time. And you know what? What else I like? I didn't go up and down, kneel and stand, just sit all hour and a half and listen and sing the songs, you know, because I didn't understand. There's a meaning. Holy Mother Church is giving us meaning. Remember when we were talking about catechism, I don't know if I have it here. We pray with whole being. It is whole being that prays. So as we are coming here to that moment of the Mass, priest is washing his hands. You know why? That is a meaning. He received those gifts. He prayed over them. But this is going to be a holy moment. This is the moment of the purification. And he says these words. And we can say it with him as well. Cleanse me, wash me from my sin, from iniquity, cleanse me from my sin. Because we want to celebrate this mystery, we want to understand. But on the top of it, he is inviting us to participate, fully participate on this mystery by these words. He tells us, pray, my brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God. Because he is priest, he is ordained priest, but in the baptism, we all became priest, prophet, and king. We are royal priesthood, all of us. So at that time, if I go through that offertory, through my preparation and bring sacrifice, priest is saying, pray, my brother and sister, that my sacrifice and yours. Now picture, again, church stops and said, what did you bring? What did you bring? How did you prepare? What sacrifices are you truly bringing in your heart? How much time you spend to really prepare and what you are bringing in your heart to the altar? Quite often there is nothing. Quite often we are not even present to our own words. Of course, he is telling us, because I am the priest, you know, and we are, he can only hold the hands over it, but we need to bring something. We need to bring our lives, because if we want to have a blessing, why not to give him everything at that altar? But it has to be done with whole heart, soul, strength, and mind. And therefore, when he invites us into that, we are sitting at that moment in the pews, and Holy Mother Church tells us, you know what? Pray now with all heart, and we stand up and we say, may the Lord accept this sacrifice at your hands, because I can't, but I'm bringing it here. I'm bringing it at the altar, but at your hands. It is for three things, for the glory, praise, and glory of your name, for our good, and the good of the whole church. It is good if I bring the sacrifice. It is good if I bring it there, and I ask God to receive it and purify my life. If I am aware of words which I am saying. This is a trouble which we have as a Catholics, that we don't prepare much for the Mass, and because we say it so often, it just goes over our head. We just say it mechanically without being open to the beautiful mysteries which are there. Again, if we have forgotten God, if we escape, Church tells us, be attentive, Lord be with you. And with your spirit, lift up your hearts. And we say it, we lift them up to the Lord. Let us mean it. Let us pray it truly, fully with our heart. Because this is, it is right to give you thanks, our Lord. It is right and just, always and everywhere to give you thanks. Always and everywhere. Not according to my judgment, this is not good. No, always and everywhere. That comes from 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Because Paul was saying, in all circumstances, give thanks to God, because this is the will of God the Father. This is the will of God, that we will give thanks. Some things, in my judgment, can be bad. But remember, Romans tells us, for those who love God, all things work for good. All things. If we are understanding, if we trust God, even difficulties and crosses, challenges are good things if they bring me to God. If I am not aware, even the greatest blessing, even the money, anything, if that leads me away from God, that's not good. So we need to learn to say it with our words. Yes, it's always and everywhere to give you thanks and praise. We are domestic church. We need to live it at home. We need to teach it our children. We need to practice it. Remember last week I played a video of that little girl that was in an immigration camp, escape. The joy that girl had, many of us, will be despair. We will be shouting to God, maybe even angry with God, and angry, and yet she was filled with joy. Because you could hear her heart. I got this video here, but let's not go there. Again, there's this beautiful moment during the Mass when we are asked to give glory to God. And when we give glory to God, we know that we can't. We cannot give Him glory as He deserves. But we can give Him only through Him, with Him, and in Him. Per ipsum et cum ibi. So all, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, glory and honor be yours. And then, you know, look in a picture, a Blessed Mother here. She was with Him. This was bad time. Didn't complain. In a difficult moment, she accepted it. She knew that everything what is happening, it's either because God willed it or permitted it. I reminded you several times, book Trustful Surrender to Divine Providence. In that book, Trustful Surrender to Divine Providence, St. Claude de la Colombière remind us, just like, where did I hear it lately? Oh, you sent me today email from Benedict XVI, responded to the problems within the church today. And he reminded us Job as well. Because you know what was happening. There was a meeting in heaven. And many of us who count only physical blessings don't understand God. When a disaster comes, we curse God. But Job was a holy man. So devil came and said, let me attack him. And you will see that he's not going to worship you. So God allowed him. And of course, he destroyed his possession, livestock, killed his children, and he still was praising God. He said, God has given, God has taken. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can we say that? It is our duty and our salvation to say that. We think that we are progressing. I think that we are less than people in the first century. Remember when I presented you the picture from the Colosseum? Those people were willing to be burned, dying, anything for Christ. They would not give it up. Even that girl in the video. We are not exposed to the suffering anymore. We try to worship more comfort than the suffering and acceptance of the suffering. But Job said, Lord has given, Lord has taken. And when even devil attacked his health, you know, he had only his wife as a support. And she said, curse God and die. If you have only last person who's to support you, and this is what he got. But you know what he said? God has given, God has taken. He didn't say, God has given, devil has taken. Because he knows the devil has no power unless God allows him. Devil is not equal to God. If we believe that he is equal, then he is not God, which we believe. Has no power. And only reality the devil exists is only because God permits him. You know, in Isaiah 43, when God says to Jacob, you didn't bring me offering, you didn't bring me sacrifices, you were a sinner. But it is I who have forgiven you your sins, and I will remember them no more. Does it ever happen to you that people hurt you, and you want to forgive, but you cannot forget? It's still there, it still hurts, and you're reminding. God has ability not to remember. It means they cease to exist. You know how it is cease to exist? Like, if God keeps something in mind, it keeps existence. If God will forget, it will cease to exist. I don't know how to explain. There are mysteries. How I explain it usually is this way. I know that there is something that doesn't exist in your mind, but it's real. But in your mind, it doesn't exist. So you don't even think about it. But I will say it, and for you, it means nothing. Halushki Zbrinzo. Anybody knows what it is? It's my favorite Slovak food. It's nowhere, you will find it nowhere. But I know what it is. It's in my mind. When I hear it, it makes a picture. I'm drooling already. I'm everything because it's so good. For you, it's nothing. It is a special kind of potatoes which you mix with flour. You put another ingredients into that, and there is a special cheese. It exists only in Slovakia, especially from the sheep. It's close to feta cheese here. Very good. Brinza is called brinza. And we put it on that and put some... Oh, I'm already drooling. That bacon on that here. I'm drooling. It's so good. And every single time I go there, first thing what I want is that food. Because for me, it's something great. So I describe to you, now it exists in your mind. But before, it didn't exist. And you cannot erase it, but God can. So if God would cease to exist, think about devil, he would cease to exist. So the reality that he is only because God willed it, allowed him. He doesn't have a power. And if God allowed him, many times is to teach us something. So everything what is happening in me, in my life, it's good because God willed it or permitted it. Something to learn. Even what I can judge bad, look at that. She knew it. He knew it. He didn't curse God the Father. He knew it and he accepted it and kissed it. And even when he was in front of Pontius Pilate says, hey, do you know I have a power to release you? I said, you don't, my Father. That power has been given to you from my Father. Jesus knew that even that was the will of his Father and he accepted it. And he freely, we say it on every Mass, accepted it. Let us imitate Christ. We are going to this Holy Week that we are going to learn from him. Because remember, we spoke about it a couple weeks ago. Jesus Christ says, do you wish to be my followers? He doesn't force you and me, but he calls us to imitate him. You need to pick up your cross, deny yourself and follow me. Pick up our cross. We need to meet Christ to obtain the strength necessary for us to live the life. Because there's only one way we can go toward heaven. We want salvation. There's no salvation without the cross. And we need to participate on that. Beautiful invitation. Let us live it at home. We are domestic church. So let me tell you a little bit about this. This is Dr. Bushman, Professor Bushman in Augustine Institute, and he speaks a little bit about our relationship with God. When he came here to Augustine Institute, they promoted this, that was probably 5 years ago, promoted this as a video about him as a new professor. And in this video, he speaks about our life, our meaning of life, our Mass, our existence in 4 minutes, summarize it. And what struck me, how often he mentioned in him, through him, in him, and with him, in union with God, with Christ, and the meaning of life, because that's per ipsum et cum ipsum. So if you can put it louder, I'll put it there again. Yeah, I'm going to turn it off again.
Another point that he makes in this section is that faith is participation in Christ's life, a personal relationship with him. We don't just gain information about Jesus as if he remains an object there that we know a lot about. We become his friends. The two become one. I live now no longer, I, but Christ lives in me, as St. Paul said in Galatians 2:20. Or my favorite text, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, 5:21. Christ enables us to live in him all that he himself lived, and he lives it in us. What could be more personal than a mutual interiority? Christ enables us to live in him all that he himself lived, and he lives it in us. So the two have been fused, so to speak. There's one subject now. I live now, no longer I, but Christ lives in me. So, here's the way that the encyclical puts it. Faith does not merely gaze at Jesus, but sees things as Jesus himself sees them, with his own eyes. It is a, and here's the word, participation in his way of seeing. We do not live alongside Jesus. We live in him. We don't pray alongside Jesus. We pray in him. We don't offer sacrifices alongside Jesus. We make our sacrifices one with his. Because the Father has only accepted and will only accept one sacrifice for all time. That's the sacrifice of the Son. If we offer any other sacrifice of our own, to the extent that it's our own, it's unacceptable. And so that's what we call ascending mediation, when we offer God our prayers and our sacrifices. The same is true when it comes to descending mediation, from God through Christ to us. Now, I don't want to, cause anybody to have cardiac arrest, okay? But when we say that God loves each and every one of us individually, that's true. But you have to cap. But it's not like he has separate loves for each one of us. All of the Father's love is poured into the Son, and he's got nothing left to give. He doesn't hold back anything. Well, I got to save a little love for Bushman. It's all given to the Son. So if Bushman's going to be loved by the Father, I have to be found in the Son. That's what it means to be loved. Now, we use language. People say, if you were the only person on the planet, Christ would have died for you, to help people understand just how much God loves us. It's true. It's also true that his love becomes historically very concrete when this little baby right here and right now is being loved and baptized. But the person is being baptized into Christ. And it's only to the extent that we are found in him that we are loved by the Father. To the extent that there's some part of us that we have not surrendered to Christ and has not been become a participation in his life, to that extent, we're not loved by God. So everything revolves around Jesus Christ. Both for descending mediation, if you want to be loved by God, you must be found in him. And for ascending mediation, if you want your intercessory prayer and your sacrifice to be acceptable and received by the Father and answered by him, it has to be one with Christ's prayer, intercession, and sacrifice. There is no other. This is the point at which the Catholic doctrine about the substantial presence of Christ in the Eucharist and the numerical equivalence between the sacrifice of the Mass and the sacrifice of Christ on Calvary is absolutely crucial. What multiplies is the celebrations, but there's only one sacrifice. If there was any other sacrifice, by definition, it could not be acceptable to the Father.
So, as you could hear, there's only one sacrifice. You probably, those who were born Catholics, you probably heard parents or grandparents, just offer it up. Just offer it up so often, yeah? But remember, there's only one sacrifice that's acceptable. And we have a chance to offer it through him, with him, and in him at the Mass. That's the only way how we can do it. There's only way. As Dr. Bushman said, there is no other sacrifice acceptable. If I do it apart from Christ, it's not acceptable. That's how God wanted it. When he said about the descending mediation, God poured all everything, all love or power or strength, everything, all wisdom into the Son. He didn't keep anything for himself or separate for each person. So only way how we can receive it, only through him, with him, and in him. as Jesus Christ received it and he gave it back to the Father, he's offering to us the same way the gift which Father has given to me, to us. And as Dr. Bushman said, but if anybody doesn't hold something and doesn't give it to God, not that God doesn't want to love him, but he's not loved by God because this is the part I don't want your love to touch. It's mine. I am not free. I'm still attached. I'm still not like Christ. I'm unable to do that. Only way how we can do it. We need to allow. Remember the very first word we spoke about. Allow God to be God of everything. If not, he is not our God. How we love him, how we know him, it's in every day of our life, whether everything we give to him, if we are willing to sacrifice. Let us go back to Mass. We dare to say only because God commanded us, Christ commanded us to teach us. This is divine teaching. Saint Teresa of Avila said, the greatest prayer ever prayed is our Father. It's God himself who gave it to us. If we understand and pray it with our heart, because how can he be my Father? Only through him. Jesus Christ came to reveal to us who he is, but he is the firstborn, and I become his brother. And he is mine, Father, only because he's mine and Christ, okay? Without Christ, there is no union, because I became united with Father through him, with him, and in him. So when I am at a Mass, and I think that is my Father, our Father, and we hold the hands, that's not Catholic teaching. That distracts us from really praying the prayer to the Father through Jesus Christ, because he is my Father and Christ's Father, our Father, not our Father. That's secondary. It can distract me, because we are coming worship to God. You know, and many people, that came from Protestant church not 20 years ago, holding hands, and many of us distract us. And I see it in the churches when people are trying to reach each other and stand on the chairs and open like this in the gymnastic way how to just, because it's important to hold hands. That's not important. Let our heart be focused on God. We are there together. Let us be united in Christ in the Spirit. Let us worship in the Spirit. Priest, hold hands. Lord, peace be with you. You know, there's another way. Peace be with you. I didn't understand until last year when I did the mission. Do you know when Jesus said in his 14th chapter, he said, I want to give you peace, not as a world do I give. That's what Jesus said. Because we believe that peace is when I will have no problem, no difficulties, no sickness. When things go as I want, that's when I consider it's going to be peace. That's a false peace. Jesus Christ said, I want to give you peace that you can find it in the midst of those trials, in the midst of those difficulties. That surpasses, doesn't depend only on external things going the way you want. But when my will is done, which is in opposition with you, you can still have a peace because you have me. He's giving us peace. And you know, and people are doing this. I learned what it is. I didn't know that. I heard that it's the hippies from 60s and 70s. That's what they did. So you want the hippies' peace to give to each other? To compare with Christ? Do you understand the difference, what we are wishing to each other? Is that what we want people to have, such peace? Or the peace which Christ said? These are the words. Peace I leave you. My peace I give you. Let us receive that peace that we can give it to the world. World needs it. As the Holy Father said yesterday in that letter, Benedict 16, we have forgotten God. We did. We go and we gather. God is not the center of our life. How do we know it? Just look at the Eucharist. Look at what is happening on the Mass. And we go rather watch the Broncos, rather go to the mountains, just because we don't know him. We don't know what he's giving us. We have forgotten. It's basic. Again, another opportunity to be purified, because we are going to receive him. We ask three times, Lamb of God, take away the sins. And here are the words of a centurion. He was not even Jew. But what he was saying here, remember that story. He sent another servant and said, go and tell Jesus that my servant is dying or sick, that he can heal him. And he saw Jesus coming and he said, why are you coming? He said, I know who you are and I know your powers. Because he explained right there, people know who I am and what are my powers. I am centurion. It means I am certain rank in the military. So when I tell people go, they go. Why? Because they know my powers in the military and know who I am. So they go. When I tell them come, they come. Even I am under authority and I know who you are. I know that your power is such that you say just word. And my servant should be healed. Yes?
I wonder how many Catholics know that's from Scripture.
I don't know. I don't know, but that's why we are reminding. That's from the Scriptures. And Jesus said, I have not found such faith in whole Jerusalem. What it would say to us in the churches, probably the same thing. I have not found such faith. Because when I am on the Mass, and I am praying there, and I'm giving him everything, and I'm bringing on the altar everything, and I said, Lord, just say the word, and my soul will be healed. Do I have a faith in it? Do I put everything into my words which I am saying? If I trust, if I live in that, then I'm receiving what church is giving, because this is not my idea. This is not Father Birbaum's idea. We were born into that. Holy Mother Church preserved these mysteries and these riches for us whole centuries and went through the persecutions of Nazism, communism, socialism, all these things, and it's still preserving us. Let us not to take it for granted. Let us receive it that we can bring it to the world. World needs it. And it depends on us. But we need to learn to receive it. If we don't receive, we don't have it. It is a beautiful way how we are coming there that we will be healed. World will be healed. Again, Lord be with you and with your spirit. May Almighty God bless you at the end. If I am forgotten, and here is the important part of our life as well. We are sent. This is not the beginning. This is actually the beginning of our mission. We receive and we are sent because priest tells us, go and announce the gospel. We are supposed to receive and go to the world and bring it to the world that waits for us. Depends on us. Father Birbaum cannot go to your job places, to your neighborhoods, to your families. But he gives you what he gave. He gave life. He gave life that you can that he can give you Eucharist. He gave everything. That he can give. Every priest gave everything that we can receive Eucharist. Let us receive it and carry it to the world. You know, there are so many people who are saying, reflecting on Saint Francis. Well, because I don't know if you know the story. Saint Francis one day told his brothers, let us go and preach the gospel. And they walked through the whole village and they said no word. And they said, what are we going to preach? And he said, yeah, use the words but necessary. Many of us, we use it as excuse. But we need to realize that Saint Francis gave up everything and everybody knew it. He shaved his head. He put habit, everything on his body expressed that he gave life to Christ. When you see a nun on the airport, priest on the airport, they don't need to say, I'm Catholic. Everybody knows it. Because everything expressed, even in the clothes, I give life to Christ. We don't. We are civilian. We need words. We need to speak. We need to live it. We need to express it much different way. We need to be bolder. We need to go out to the world because that's important. That's why we are sent. You know, a few years ago, I told you, I had a business for many years. And my office was... when people walk in, I don't know if I mentioned to you, there was holy water. You know, everybody could come and get holy water. I got crucifix, Blessed Mother. I had a library. I love library because I got all the Catholic books and many Protestants came to sell the products to my company. And when they saw it, there was invitation. Oh, you're Catholic. Yeah, what are you? And it was no problem to enter into conversation with the people. Everything invited them. I gave those books, I spoke with many people. I have suppliers who spend hours and hours just sitting in my office talking about God, because that's God placed me there, not just to make money. That's a secondary. I am His. God made me His apostle, His disciple, to go out there. I belong to Christ. I was baptized into Christ. When I'm sent out there, it's everywhere where I am. Christ must be central in my life. I'm mission after every Mass. A few years ago, we ordered a machine that was from Italy. It was big CNC machine, computerized machinery. It took about 2 weeks to install it and train us how to operate in our company. And there was this guy who came and trained us. And of course, he saw that we are Catholics, and he tried to ignore it somehow. But what else we were doing it in our company, we started work at 6 o'clock, and there was a church about 5 minutes from us, and a Mass started at 8:15. And we offered every employee to come to Mass, whether Catholic or not, and it's pay time. Many of them, in the beginning, they started to take it, but they fell asleep in the church, whatever. But they took an opportunity, but we wanted to be exposed. We offered it to them all the time. So this guy knew it, that we are coming, going to Mass. So he stayed in the hotel where he was sleeping. He was from New York or somewhere in the East Coast. He waited until we came for the Mass. You know, when he started to talk a little bit, oh, you are Catholics here, I can see it. I'm Catholic too, but I do not agree with the Catholic Church. You know, there's many great Protestant churches and many pastors who are teaching better things and so on. And so I started to talk to him after a while about how he understands his faith if he goes to church. And I said, oh, I've gone to church. I'm preparing for 12 years young children for First Holy Communion, but that's secondary. What I believe is a little bit different. I said, well, how can you prepare them? How can you prepare them when you yourself don't know? When you yourself don't believe? Don't you feel like you're a hypocrite there? And he said, oh, come on, you know, the Catholic Church doesn't understand. And so we got a lot of arguments. And after a few days, I gave this guy a book by Patrick Madrid, Surprised by the Truth. I don't know if anybody had a chance to read it. There are 11 stories of the people who were Jewish, Protestant ministers as well, and fought against Catholicism. And because they fought against Catholic Church, they started to study more that they can fight it. And more they learn, they realize they are wrong and became Catholics. You know, many of them came from this whole congregation back to the church. Surprised by the Truth. There are already three books by Patrick Madrid. And so I had one of the volume, so I told him, read it. Next day, he was there at 6 a.m. But he was in 6 a.m. and his eyes were red. And he said, Peter, it was 3 a.m. when I put this book down. I could not believe. I never knew these things. I never realized. I'm Catholic all my life. I never understood this truth. And he said, I have more questions. But first, what I want to do, can I go with you to Mass today? I said, sure, you're welcome. But I asked him a few things about Mass, like this. Do you know why you do this? And he said, no. I went and prepared him for the Mass. That guy went to the Mass. He sat in the pew, knelt, and was on the knees whole Mass, having his head in the hands and sobbed whole Mass, crying. He didn't stand up to get the Eucharist. After Mass, he came to our shop and he said, I was absolutely unworthy to receive him. But I came to know him as never before. And then when he returned back, he wrote me a little testimony I just want to share with you. He said, I wish I was back at your place. I have so much to tell you. I went to talk to the priest next day after I left Denver. I talked to him for an hour and a half. He gave me two books to read, and he mentioned what he gave him. And also, I went to confession, first time in 15 years. I bought daily Roman Missal. I can do my own limited Mass while I'm on the road. And I have started to recite rosary every day. I would never thought I would be doing it, because he thought as a Protestant it's just bumbling, it's just empty words. My wife is now telling me to become a priest, jokingly. I want to express my deepest appreciation to you. I am so on fire about the church. You have given me the reason to follow the church. It was like an instance. I understood the apostolic succession and how everything was handed down by the Holy Spirit. Scales fell from my eyes. And then it continues. Remember this. At the end of the Mass is the beginning of our mission. Church, in essence, is missionary. This is not time for the pleasure. You know the church is telling us that it's church that is triumphant, glorious, and military. This is military church. We are a militant church. We are in the battle. We need to understand the spiritual realities. Paul was telling us, our battle is against principalities and powers. Remember, the battle in a prayer, Catechism 27:25, devil will do anything to take us away from union with God. There is no greater prayer than Holy Mass. And he will do anything to attract us to the worldly kingdom, that we will not be aware of the heavenly kingdom that is given to us every day. And our churches are not packed yet. Why? Just because we don't know him. Just because we don't understand. Many times because we don't know how to be present, and we don't know how to receive what God wants to give us. We are entering into Holy Week next week. And I purposely chose this talk now because we will have plenty of time to celebrate it. My pastor always tells me, Good Friday is so good that you should not be at work. That's the way how you can tell your boss, I am not working. For me, God is more than this. You have opportunity to celebrate and evangelize right there in the workplace. My pastor said, if your children go to any school, withdraw them on Friday and let them know they're Catholic. We have opportunity. We are going to Holy Week. Is it holy? God gave us freedom. But when God healed everybody, anybody, read what Jesus said in the Bible. When the woman with hemorrhaging came, touched him, all these men, it was, your faith has healed you. His power is available, but is our faith there? He wants to heal us. He wants to elevate us. He came to share with us in humanity that he can divinize us and elevate us, that we can celebrate his mysteries fully as God desires. Any questions? More questions about Mass? I know it's just brief. I didn't go to the old details, but I hope that something stir within you. Whatever stir within you, go there. Bring it in prayer to God. You have missile. If you don't have missile, take it. Prepare for the Mass before Mass. Spend time on your sin. Bring him some sacrifice. And ponder on the words which you are saying. And pray them with whole being, including your heart. Okay? Anything else?
This was a good selection with Holy Week coming up. This was a good choice. Okay. Very, very good.
Okay. So, let us pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, you invite us into these mysteries. And we know that Paul invited us to see with eyes our souls, hear with eyes our souls, and sense your presence. St. Augustine said that he tasted you. So we ask all those saints who walk this journey before us, who are in union with you, and all those angels who are in the kingdom into which you are calling us, and we are in this holy place, so aware of these realities and this truth, we want to unite our voices with theirs as we say, Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.